different in that the group I went into, you're expected to pay your own way. In other words, raise dollars. There was nobody going to raise dollars for you.
Okay.
And in like starting a process controls group there, we were expected to find our own projects, our own money, and support ourselves, and to to do good research in the process. And as opposed to, say, Livermore, you know, where it was funded by Air Force or AEC dollars, and you know, you knew where your next paycheck was coming from, and who, and you know, there was no element of having to go out and solicit your own projects, and you were on a project that had already been funded. And the whole atmosphere and the part of SRI I went into was, you know, you are starting this and you know, you better find some support pretty soon, or you're gonna have to find another job. And that wasn't stated exactly that way.
Right.
But it was pretty
amounted to.
Didn't take long to figure it out. They kept track of how long you're on the beach.
Right.
As the saying goes, and if you're on the beach more than 30% of the time, you were running and being funded by overhead, and somebody else is paying your way, and so you knew you had to find a job.
So initially, so process controls, initially, is it you and Mike?
Right.
It's the two of you are going to set up some activity in process controls, and then are you thinking of all sorts of industrial process controls,
or
are you thinking in a particular sector, like electronics, or?
Well, we were thinking industrial process controls, and we, you know, I have to say, you know, we'd only worked on military kinds of things, and I'd been the only one working on control systems per se, but Mike had he was a good physicist, and had a good understanding of you know, process control generally, and particularly the process. And so I represented the controls end, and he could, you know, understand the process, and working together we could figure out, you know, better ways of controlling it. And we were looking at forward ways of doing process control that, and we didn't, I would say, in all honesty, understand much about what industry was doing until we came to SRI. And the first project is, when the day we arrived there, there was a person named Alan Lee, who was an economist, who asked us if we would come work on his project, which was a market study he was doing for IBM and 3M and various companies. And the subject was process control, and I even have in this box the results of our study that we did, and somewhere, I guess this is it. It was a study for industrial process instruments and controls.
Oh, wow.
1960 through 66. And it's funded by the companies on the front there, Beckman,
and 3M.
And then IBM was the original and the largest supporter of that. But IBM was trying to decide whether or not to get into the process controls area.
Wow.
And so and Alan Lee was absolutely the best person in the marketing and doing a market survey that I've ever come across, and I have met quite a few. But he was a double E from Stanford undergraduate with an MBA from Harvard, and he was very, very sharp and had been doing this as his career at SRI.
Market research in general.
Right.
And so this first project is essentially to do market research on the people you would approach. to fund projects on process control, which is perfect.
We were really trying to define what the market was, and I guess if you wanted to get right down to it, to help IBM decide whether or not they wanted to get into this market,
right,
whether it was big enough. And it boiled down to looking, dividing the markets into instruments, and dividing the market into the area of the different process industries,
mm-hmm.
and you know, power, chemical, petroleum,
right,
food, etc. And so we were absolutely at the feet of a master. I mean, he was really, you know, and I really, it was a very, very valuable lesson, you know, that we learned in this area. And he was, SRI had it down, you know, to a real science. And, you know, you boned up on each, you took one market at a time and boned up on it. We were looking at the markets for various kinds of instruments, both existing and future.
Mm-hmm.
And so you didn't limit yourself to just things that were there at that time, like gas chromatography was just becoming used in this area.
Right.
But this was, it turned out to be almost a year-long study that we did, and learned a lot about these markets. And that was, let's say, I think we recognized that it was an opportunity to learn about the things that we should be addressing from a process controls group.
So that was the, okay, so you spent that year working on this research. Next door to you is the group that is using a quadrupole mass spectrometer.
Right.
As the detector for making those
microelectronic
devices.
Right. And we had two offices, one in economics, which was in a whole different building, and then our office in control systems lab, which was next door to the group, the physics group working, Applied Physics Lab, they called it SRI, working on the quadrupole microelectronics program. And in fact, and so we would, at SRI, had a morning break every day when everyone would go out and you could talk to anybody about anything.
Mm.
And they had free donuts, as I recall, and coffee. And you'd go out, but the thing that was sort of interested us was we'd hear all this screaming and yelling, always coming from the lab next to us. And our lab was just about asleep. You know, I mean, it could have fallen asleep and you never know the difference. And I would go over and Mike too, and we'd meet these people and ask them what they're doing, and pretty soon they invite us into their lab and show us what they're doing. And the quadrupole was the first thing, because it was working already, and ultra high vacuum systems were already developed,
mm-hmm.
protocols were being put in it. And so we became very interested in it. And I'd say by the time we finished this study, we were very interested in the prospects for the quadrupole as a advanced instrument for process control. And we wrote a proposal that I also have in this package that we sent to Shell Development, 3M,
mm-hmm.
people we met in this study at 3M, and Perkin-Elmer, and maybe one or two others, and where we proposed to develop the quadrupole as an instrument for process control. And one of the companies, 3M, had a startup group that were going to be they were looking for products to
mm-hmm.
build. They're going to be the 3M process controls group, and so they were looking for things that would, you know, provide markets for them.
Right.
And we wrote this proposal, and none of them accepted it.
So that was a proposal, in essence, for research that the two, well, that you would do an SRI for them.
Right.
To exactly. Look at the quadrupole mass spec as
right
a new right process control instrument,
right
detector, whatever.
Yeah, and okay. It didn't necessarily have to be limited to that. It could be used, like for Perkinelmer, as a scientific instrument.
Okay, and that was something that you were
was within our
mentioned.
Site. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We felt it could become an instrument, and they were in mass spectrometry selling Hitachi instruments
mm-hmm.
at that time,
mm-hmm.
and we thought this might be something they would do, and so we saw that as a possibility, even though our emphasis was process control, and we wrote the proposal, proposed a three-phase program, and $54,000 was phase one cost for whomever accepted it, and as I think I mentioned in my paper for Alan Bochem, a fellow who was a friend until he died recently, Phil Wadsworth at Shell, he decided that he would support it.
Oh, yeah.
And if he had, I don't know if we would ever started fitting it. So he called and said, and we had met him during this study, they were up in Emeryville, and he said looked like a good project for Shell development to do. And then his boss came back from vacation and killed it. and they ultimately moved to Sugarville or something. Sugar something in near Houston.
Right.
That's where Shell Development is still located. But we didn't get any takers, to make a long story short.
So did you have any other... I mean, that must have taken a long time to develop. I mean, you've shopped it out to a number of people, probably had every expectation that somebody would, because in terms of like Shell's R&D budget,
this is
not a huge,
right.
Year one is not a huge amount.
Right, yeah, we thought we'd probably find somebody who would be interested. And it was, I guess, during the study that we're doing, one of the companies we visited was EAI, Electronic Associates,
okay.
in Long Branch, New Jersey. And they, almost from the first time I went in their door, they tried to hire me and really wanted me to join them and head up their process controls activity. And they were, I would say, somewhat leaderless in that area, and really had some. They had analog computer products that had application, and we actually, on the basis of this study, wrote a paper that got a broad coverage called Modern Process Control, and it was published by International Science and Technology, and it was published by Van Nostrand in a book and so on. And it talked about the advantages of digital and analog control, both of which we considered in this study. And EAI were very, very interested in what we found and wanted some, they had plans to get into that market area. And so when we finished the study, they were really breathing down my throat, trying to get me to come join them. And I would say, so we really didn't have a very long period. We probably wrote the proposal in a month's time or less.
No.
And we're pushing and introducing the idea to Shell and a few others. But we really, I would say, had sort of the bums rush from EAI, and it really, and I told them I wouldn't consider moving from the area from here, and so they said, well, we'll set up the operation there, and so that we wound up electing to do before we really got going at SRI, and And I would just say it was, it looked more exciting, and it turned out to be pretty exciting, I think.
No, they were primarily an analog computer manufacturer.
Right, they were the leading analog, and probably they were considered the IBM of analog computers at that time, because they owned probably 80% market share.
Wow.
And it was not as large a market as digital computers, obviously, but it's a very good quality company, and they were I had used major amounts of their equipment at Livermore in running Tory 2A,
okay.
Tory 2C. We actually used their equipment online in their process control equipment.
Oh.
And we had a lot of it. I mean, probably $1 million worth of it in our system. And when we didn't have the reactor plugged in, we could run with the reactor simulated on their process control equipment.
Right.
So from the operator standpoint, we couldn't tell the difference. So we saw that as an opportunity,
right,
to do process control in maybe a little more down-to-earth way than doing a research kind of activity at SRI.
So was the, were they were pressuring you and the both of you, you and Mike?
I'd say more me, but they
were you, but
yeah.
They wanted him to,
right.
Were they selling it as a, you know, bring your team over to our team sort of?
Yeah, I would say that, and I had formed a friendship with one of the founders of EAI, and he's a very, very good person. And they were, they needed the help, I think, you know, if they're going to go in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that as an avenue for developing, you know, some of our ideas, and like the quadruple. And so it was, in a way, I guess I didn't plan on leaving SRI that
yeah.
soon. It was because it was only a year and some odd months. But it looked, you know, to be a very interesting situation. And they had large customers at NASA Ames and so on for other activities that we started at EAI, the analog computer, doing analog computer services. We started a systems group, process systems group, and then quadruple. And there was a sales group here as well. And so we started all that in Palo Alto, combined all of that in Palo Alto.
So did you operate then as a division of EAI in a way, or?
Yeah, it was an independent department is what
okay.
it was called. And Integrated Controls Department was the name of it. And it was attached to the research part of EAI.
Okay.
And which was located in Princeton, New Jersey, was its headquarters.
And did, and so they agreed to set the shop up out here.
Right.
And did you agree to those three, you know, lines of work that you were going to pursue?
Yeah, we agreed to set up a computer facility to do rental work, you know.
Right.
And ultimately we wound up with, I think we had 30 people at NASA Ames. Actually working, most of them working over there, doing on-site, running their computers.
Okay.
And we're doing work for them and for others right here, just a couple miles from the house. And that was sort of paying the rent, you know, while we started the process systems group, which became quite a successful activity, doing work for Aerojet, for nuclear facilities. We were pretty well known among a lot of the nuclear community. And we're doing work for Aerojet at San Ramon, at Aerojet, at Sacramento, and subsequently even at their headquarters in El Monte.
So those were, those systems, those process control systems were for, what?
These were for NERVA, the nuclear missile, nuclear rocket. They were, we had a lot of different contracts for other, you know, like for what I'd call commercial controls, process control systems too. But those were for, happened to be for the NERVA project.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we could have, you know, taken as much work as we could handle there. We sort of limited that, but it was an area that we already had expertise, so we could, you know, easily take on that. And these were, we had in mind, and then I was heading the process controls activity for all of EAI here, what we had here as well as back in Long Branch. And they had maybe, a dozen people or something like that all together. That wasn't counting manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
which was really run separately. But, and so I was commuting to Long Branch and Princeton about once a month to basically run the activities back there. And we had people from, you know, manufacturing, engineering, sales, marketing,
right.
and R&D, and they were, we would meet during my visits there, we would meet, and we were basically trying to direct more of their activities, let's say to include instruments, and include, we laid out a program for EAI that would make them a broad-based process control instrumentation company. And it was a pretty ambitious program. And the first real significant product other than the analog computers they already had was the quadrupole mass spectrometer.
Okay.
That we had already become familiar with, I think.
So the idea was that they would supply to in this expansion maybe of the EAI business more broadly, you know, to include systems and the instruments and, well, the computer
right.
and the instrument
right.
for process control.
Right.
Was that the idea
mm-hmm.
for,
yeah.
okay.
We went to people like Phillips Petroleum.
Right.
And who was, they were very close to EAI in a business sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried out a lot of our ideas. And they were receptive to this, and were helpful in saying, well, this is something we could really use, and, you know, so on. And so we were talking to customers that a lot of them we had met during the study at SRI.
Hmm.
And so we had, I would say, pretty, I would say, big objectives for people, you know, as unknowledgeable in the business world as we were. And, you know, we had talked to, we called various companies like Airgraph, who were making GCs,
mm-hmm.
and PerkinElmer, and we really did a survey, you know, that sort of continued on from what we had been doing at SRI in trying to define, you know, the market of the future in the instrumentation area, which was at that time dominated by Honeywell,
mm-hmm.
Foxborough, and Taylor, and to a lesser degree, but GE and Westinghouse on the, you know, for steel mills. And
right.
But it was a revolutionary, I think what we were trying to do was impossible. it was too revolutionary, you know, for such a state in the industry as the process control industry.
Now, what was the idea? Sorry, because to have to explain it to me, but was it the idea, what was it about the analog computers and the instruments for process control? I mean, or were they thinking, maybe it's just I'm too habituated to thinking about digital computers, but the idea was to sell them the customer system where the instrument would be taking, you know, valuable measurements of the process.
Mm-hmm.
That information would get fed into a computer system that would allow, oh, well, now I've just explained it to myself,
yeah.
Right? So you can have an analog system to
right.
keep it in a certain band. And,
right.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And we're really talking, at that time, they're using pneumatic controllers in most process plants.
Oh.
And they would, you know, they were systems that had probably been around for 30 years or, you know, maybe longer.
Okay.
And some companies like IBM was trying to introduce electronic equivalents to that, and basically gave up on it early on. And I'd say partly based on our study at SRI, we really didn't see a market for their, you know, big market for their computers or for their electronic integrators, electronic control.
Right.
And saw that it wasn't, you know, wasn't a market of size to be of interest to IBM. And their own people were recommending strongly to go into it. At SRI, we recommended not to.
Hmm.
We didn't tell them what to do. We just said, this is the size of the market, and this is how we see it, you know, happening, looking ahead the next 6 years.
Right.
And, you know, it ain't worth your doing. It's really what it's said. You know, for IBM especially.
Right.
And you might sell a few, you know, a few 360s and 1800s and so on, but you could probably sell those to them anyway.
Right.
And so what we were doing from EAI was saying we really think that there is a need for analog controls, you know, that will really do the job better, and they're very, you know, they're relatively inexpensive, and you could have a digital. Ultimately, you know, a digital decision maker back here, so it would be sort of hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
But you need different sensors. You could really improve your process if you had better sensors. And ultimately, we saw a quadrupole mass spectrometer as one of these sensors, where it would, you know, it would give the composition of a process plant, you know, allow you to control on certain parts, you know, certain organic,
mm-hmm.
Components, and so on, and I would just say I think they're doing a lot of those things now, and there was a colleague of mine at the Air Force Institute, Ted Williams, who built the first all digital controls. He went to Monsanto,
mm-hmm.
and did direct digital control. It was considered, you know, really revolutionary. But today, you know, it would be considered passé. And so most, I'd say, and a lot of the things, including quadrupoles, are used in process control now. But this was a long time. This was 30-something years ago. And,
right.
And it was too far out.
Well, I mean, from my understanding of it is that, you know, the leaders in digital process control, or whatever the correct term is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, the leaders in that are only doing that in maybe the early 80s, that, you know, in some big Exxon refineries,
right.
and,
yeah.
and things like that. So
yeah.
that's,
right.
You know, that's interesting that they were thinking of that. Or IBM was considering making a go of that, what, you know, 20 years before
yeah,
it actually turned out
right.
that
yeah,
people
60,
did it.
That was in 63. IBM had a group right in San Jose, and they were doing a competitive market study to the one we did. And they were just pushing as hard as could
yeah.
be. And they felt there was a large market there, and we... wound up, we made a presentation. I don't remember whether we did ours first or they did theirs first, but we both made presentations to their management And the management believed us and not them. And we were, and to Beckman, and right. And so on. And Beckman, it was the SPID division, Scientific Process Instrumentation
right.
Division, who also backed off based on our recommendations.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. They really, Joe Lewis was the guy in charge.
Right.
And he's a really good guy.
We did an interview with him for the book that we did on Beckman.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So he's a great guy.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. And we went in, we made a pitch at each of these places that had sponsored the study. And Joe Lewis was the guy sponsoring part of it. And I would say with IBM, you know, their group thought they knew things better. They wouldn't tell us what they're doing, but all along the way we had to report to them every 3 months or something, you know, our results.
Right.
And so they had already had our results. And we were really put on the, you know, spot, you know, by the management, who had the benefit of having their group who knew what we did, you know, question this and this and this.
Mm.
And we knew those numbers so well. We knew those markets so well. They would have had to have gone out like we did